The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Broadcasting from beautiful Burbank, California, this is the Knapsack Files. We are here for a very special return to the Knapsack Files. I love new guests with new stories. We get to know them, but I love bringing back my friends. And tonight, we got a great return. It is Mark Riley.
I love the music.
You're like, haven't been here with the new music.
Yeah, it gets me right in the mood because it also brings up the fact that I'm a subscriber, obviously, of the Knapsack Files.
Right.
I'm like, so good to be here as always,
yeah,
my friend.
Good to have you back, man. We like to do the check-ins now every now and then and just pour some whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Clink some glasses.
By the way, thank you.
Clink some glasses.
I was like, can I be that guy?
Yeah, I normally pass just some water. I gave you a vintage Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Sarlacc Pit Burger King glass.
Oh, yeah, I had this.
Yeah, it's great.
I had this.
And I said, here, I'll pour some water in this glass for you. And you were like, that's awesome. Then you paused.
Yeah.
And then you said, I don't want to be that guy. Can I have some whiskey? And I'm like, you've come to the right house to be
Well, I was driving over and I went, Ken has whiskey. I haven't had whiskey in
a while. A guarantee in life. Pretty much generally is.
There it is.
You talk about work. Of course, that is currently Collider Video, mm-hmm. where Mark Riley, you are a producer extraordinaire,
sure.
occasional panelist and host.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that and catch up on the state of the business, but I also want to talk about just life, career.
Love it.
Big news. And let's start with, I don't want to bury the lead here for you personally. You got engaged.
I'm engaged.
And I
haven't been on the Knapsack Files since I've been engaged. That's right.
And I don't know, you know, how much you want to talk about it, but at least.
I'm an open book.
Ken. You're an open book.
Yeah, I don't care.
But is your fiance an open book about this?
She's an open book.
About this?
About the engagement and about what I do.
Yes. We won't go into her life.
Well, I know what I can't touch and what I can. So
that's perfect.
She's an open book, for lack of a better term.
You guys had a pretty wonderful proposal, if I do say so myself.
Oh, well, thank you.
It was beautiful. The video release was beautiful. And it had my favorite, like, real life crashing into it that you're just going to have to laugh.
Yeah.
And then hope maybe one day we can edit out. We'll get to that. Talk about your proposal. It's pretty impressive.
Well, let's see.
I think
here.
It was very cute.
It was.
Endearing.
I'm that guy, obviously. Yeah. First I'll start with, it was long overdue. Mm-hmm. I think I even talked to you. We were at a moment last year talking about, how am I going to get this ring?
Oh, yeah, like the actual.
Yeah.
You thought you were going to have to go Ocean's 11 and steal
yes,
a ring.
Because it's no secret. I think I've said this many mm-hmm. times. That we were going to get a bonus at Collider. And this is when we were under Complex.
Under Complex Media, different company.
So I had a year on Collider and Complex. And it was like, you're going to get this bonus. And I had that circled in my calendar.
You're a clerk as well.
Yes, exactly. It's a 12-month subscription to Jelly of the Month Club. I didn't even get the Jelly of the Month Club. Okay, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So we fast forward to that. I was circling that. I had saved up a little bit, but I was circling that in particular. And I'm like, I'm going to go out and shop. Well, they didn't even give me the Jelly of the Month Club.
No jelly.
No jelly.
No money, no jelly.
No bonus, no nothing. That was probably the first sign that Complex was not okay.
It's a good winter.
Yeah,
it's
so
a good winter.
I remember having one of our walks at Collider, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going
to
do here.
Go for our walks.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. That was the money that was going to go to the ring.
By the way, occasionally, like, it real quiet in the studio, you might hear the air come on and off. It's a hot day in Burbank.
Yeah,
the air is going to go.
95.
The air is going to go.
Over.
So anyway, you and I went for the walk.
Yeah, and I remember saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get this ring because, you know, contrary to popular belief that my salary is not great. And so to save money, it will take time. So
the realities of it.
Yeah. So
the realities of love.
The realities of love. So, well, I decided then and there pretty much around that time that I didn't get the bonus. I said, well, I'm going to just start putting money aside every month. And that's what I did.
Seems simple.
So then I made the ring.
forged it? You smelted the ring?
I smelted the ring.
This one ring of power?
This one ring of power. I went to... It was very lucky, serendipitous, because I did look at a certain ring jeweler in Orange County through my mom, and she was like, no, I don't like that.
Your home country.
My home country. And then, and then my aunt went, wait a minute. Kathy Paula, which I'm using her name on purpose because she's up based in Bakersfield. She was fantastic.
Okay.
She went, I can help you out, Mark. And so I got in touch with her about 2 months before April of this year. So that's
April 2018. Got it. So you're in the February time frame.
In the February time frame. And February. She said, what's your budget? I said, here's my budget. She went, okay, here we
go. More than $25, she said.
Yep, more than $25. I got the diamond, and then I started, and then she sent me to a website, and I went, I like that one. I went, I like that one. I like that one. And occasionally I would show some of the women at Collider, like, hey, what do you think of this? Like Wendy. Wendy was was really helped me. I went, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? Yeah. So picked the design, told Kathy, she got it. I sent, she was coming down for a Los Angeles play with my mom and my aunt.
Okay.
She brought the ring. I brought the check. We had the exchange. I saw it. I thought I cried. I was like, this is fucking this is like beautiful.
A plot point in Big Lebowski.
Yeah, I know, right?
The whites, dude. The whites. Yeah.
That's right. Got it. So then to give you a little backstory, Julie, my fiance, got me a drone in Christmas. Gotcha.
You like flying them drones?
I fucking love the drone, man. Can I cuss?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know.
We try not to.
Young kids and parents listen, but you can swear if you want.
I
You're having whiskey.
I was,
It's not like we're being pure of heart.
Exactly. So, yeah, so I get the drone. I become a hobby. It's a hobby of mine now. I love the drone.
Yeah.
And so I knew going to, circling on the calendar, our four-year anniversary, Julie and I go to Cambria, which
Cambria,
you know.
Cambria, California.
Well. Yeah.
Near my hometown. Yep. Also hometown of singer, songwriter, rock star Van William.
That's right.
Friend of the show, yeah.
A friend of mine now, too, and a great guy. So
great guy.
Cambria is our favorite place. I said, all right, Julie, we're going to go four-year anniversary. We're going to do a big weekend. We're going to leave Wednesday night. We're going to go stay up in Solving. We're going to go to the Hitching Post because we love Sideways. So we did
Sideways,
that.
Sideways, yep.
Then we went and picked up our wine club on the way to Cambria through, you know, that Paso Robles. We get there. And I decide that Thursday, the day before my four-year anniversary, that I'm going to propose. So I...
This is it.
This is it. So we're staying at the Fireside Inn. On Moonstone Beach.
Yep.
And I called ahead of time and said, hey, we're coming up there. It's going to be a special occasion. I am going to propose. Mm. And they went, oh my God, we just upgraded you to the oceanfront suite.
That's no all you charge. Gonna do?
Yes, apparently so.
At any point, did they confirm later on that you proposed?
Yes, they did. They asked.
I was thinking this is like a great way to get rooms.
You might want to try it. You might want to try it and get, and just,
yeah.
Coach.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'll just go show myself. Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, she's coming in a couple days.
That could work.
Your reservation's
sure
for 2 days.
Yep. 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 That's beside the point. So we get there. We get the oceanfront lounge. Mm-hmm. Bottle of champagne is waiting for us because they were great. Fireside Inn. Great.
Ready to go.
So open up our balcony, which is our own little patio, Moonstone Beach. I go, you know what, babe? Sunset. I want to fly the drone.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, shit. Because she doesn't like my flying of the drone right now.
She respects it as a hobby.
Yes. But it's...
Purchased you the drone. But hey, Mark, this is for
us. You do it quite a bit, Mark.
Don't fly your robot helicopter around us.
Why do you keep flying this drone and taking all this time away from us time?
Keep the robots out of our walk.
Right. But I had this plan.
Okay.
I'm going to launch this drone and throw her off.
Mm-hmm.
But also, what I love about the drone is that it has this little thing that you could click the button and it'll track you.
It'll just
and you don't have
hover
to,
along.
Yeah. So I launched the drone. Yeah. So I launched the drone. Sun is setting. I fly it around a little bit, get some atmosphere, target us, pull the ring out, and propose.
So you're not controlling the drone at all. Technology has taken over.
Yes. Can you believe that?
Yeah. It's AI is taken over. It's the drone starts flying in, zooming in. You got Cal there.
Cal's with
one
us.
One of the greatest dogs in the history of recorded mankind.
Yep.
And dog kind. He's just watching.
Cal's just watching.
Kind of bored, kind of like,
he's sniffing around.
Hey, Dad. Okay.
He's sniffing around. I pull the ring out. Julie flips, rightly so. It was God, it was a beautiful, it really was, to see her light up like that was worth it, every penny. But then with that drone, two things happened that were really funny. One, and you can see it in the footage, we had a family that decided to just hang out while I was proposing because they wanted to go to where the dock was where I was.
Yeah, so you had a little walkway, like a pier, a boardwalk more, but you were on the equivalent of a small, tiny pier.
Right, it kind of jutted
the walkway,
out. Yeah, kind
of
jutted
off. Over
the cliff
a little bit. Cambria's beautiful beach.
Yeah.
It's one of them pine cone beaches, I call it.
Right,
it's got trees, pine trees right on the beach. And this family comes strolling in. And they look over. You're on one knee.
I'm literally on one knee.
There's a robot taking your picture.
Yep.
And the kid, 8, 9 years old maybe, starts walking towards it. And the dad, and the video I saw, the dad's like, son, and he kind of grabs him like, they're having a moment.
Yeah.
But then the dad stays there.
Right.
And the whole family watches you.
Because one person walked by, wanted to go in this area, saw what was happening, kept moving.
Smart person.
Went, that's a moment there. Family decided to stay.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't know this at the well, I did actually. I could sense them.
But I could see you being so in the moment, you just.
Yeah, you and gotta, I was just like.
Because once you're down on the knee, you don't go take two.
No. No.
Honey, what? Can we move?
Why were you on one knee for a second? Yeah. Oh, I was tying my shoe. But you're wearing flip flops. So they hung out there, which I thought was hysterical.
Right.
Because I could feel their presence. But then everything, you know, it happened. Yeah. She said yes, spoiler alert. And she. Then I hear this noise, and it's cheet-cheet-cheet-cheet, and I look over, and my phone, which is connected to the drone, it basically says the battery is dead. And I go, uh-oh.
Return to shore.
And I go, and just as I'm reaching for the controls, the drone starts to drop. Now, mind you, the drone is hovering above us.
I mean.
Probably 60 feet, 70 feet, catching all this wonderful, beautiful footage. And
Remind me, is it over ocean or sand down below?
Ocean.
Ocean.
Pure ocean.
Pure ocean.
Right off the cliff.
Yeah.
And I go, uh-oh. And I get it, and I start to press forward on the control to bring it back to me, and it slowly starts to go, and it slowly starts to dive, and then the battery gave out, but I gave it just enough that it landed on the cliff right underneath the pier. And thankfully landed in a spot that had some like soft kind of grass kind of stuff.
That you could reach for.
That I could reach.
Some of those Cambria cliffs there and some of the other beach cliffs, Shell Beach and Avila Beach up there, you ain't going.
No.
Risking your life if you go.
I did climb over. I had to climb over the railing and climb down.
Because it's got your footage.
Right, to get my footage. And Julie was like, please don't die now. This is not the time for this. And I get it. And I like, that was really fun.
Did the droid go, thank you, Mark?
Yes. It's like, beep, 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 beep. Then it was like, then I had to, of course, we're going to go back. We have some dinner reservations and, you know, we're going to call friends and family, all this kind of stuff. And as we walk by, the family and the dad is still there. And as we walk by, he goes, well, I didn't know what to do. And I go, I was just having my moment, you know, proposing to my future wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's all yours.
Yeah.
You know, and he had this like look on his face like he didn't know what was going on. Like I'm like, I thought it was a little bit too much,
just
buddy.
Just ruined your life.
You
can overcome that.
Right, I did. So then I cut, you know, Princess Leia's music to it.
You did,
And shared it on Facebook because that's
beautiful.
Who I am. Because I even said for the announcement, it was like, yeah, I'm that guy. I cut Princess Leia's tune to my proposal.
It's great. It's great. And, and it's what's fun about that there in this day and age of technology. And I've seen a lot of really cool proposals, been a part of some here. What I loved about this one, it was intimate outside the family watching.
Sure.
It was intimate, cute, and to see it, to see the moment where Julie realizes is a fun moment to watch and a sweet moment, especially knowing your guys' journey of 4 years, and this is something she really wanted.
Yeah.
And thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully. Yeah.
Thankfully, she didn't turn to be like, get out and throw you over the cliff.
And I dragged my feet. I did.
Yeah, you know.
I'm also a divorcee.
This is your second go around. And,
it is. There,
that's a different thing and a different conversation. But that was my favorite part of it, was her just kind of like staring at the, because she's, you guys are waving at the drone, right? Isn't right. there a shot? Yeah, yeah, you're yeah. like, wave at the robot.
And I, she's did.
Like,
I did.
Again,
I did. I wave because,
hi, robot.
She's like, what am I doing?
What am
right
I doing?
Now?
And your dog's like, whoa, Dad, can we go back to the lodge and get a steak?
Exactly.
And then to the moment she's like, why is Mark tying his shoe? Oh, he's asking me to be his bride. That was the moment.
Oh, well, thank you. It was great. And I'll never forget that I told you about all this in a text exchange the next morning, and perfectly you wrote me back because, well, I said, oh, the thing almost died.
Yeah.
And I had to climb over and get it, and you sent me a headline.
Yeah.
You know, jealous dog pushes man to his death.
And I remember too, because you had told us that this was happening. Maybe one or two people. I don't know.
Yeah. I only told you and Roger.
Yeah.
Because a week before we were all hanging out.
You, me, Roger, Craig Smith, our good friend, having steaks at Roger's house, which we need to do again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You had said it. And we were like, wow, it's happening next week. And so sometimes you, me, and Roger jump on group texts, well, three of us, and we say some weird things and inside jokes. And I didn't want to text anything because I didn't know when specifically it was happening. And I was really worried of being like, hey, Roger, did we lose Mark to marriage? And then like have Julie pick up the phone as it pops up while you're in the shower. Right. Oh, Mark, Roger and Ken are saying you're, what?
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. Well, if you get the iPhone 10 now, the face recognition, you can't read the text anymore.
Oh, that's key.
Yeah, you get a little alert. You have to look. And so, which I don't know if it's good or bad, you know, for whatever.
You got the next, you got this part of life figured out, for you know?
I'll never have it.
You'll never have figured out, but you've taken this.
I have a partner in crime, at least.
Yeah, you know that. And
yeah.
And yeah, look, it's no small feat. I don't think it's something you can brush over.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah, you did have a previous marriage and a divorce, and it affected you, and there was a little bit of recovery time, but this can be where it ends up. And I think that's important for other people out there in that boat, in that little robot.
Yeah.
Who are like, I don't know if I can do this again. And you can do it again.
You can do it again. You know, I went a long time. I mean, you know, I knew early on I wanted to be with Julie and marry her.
I remember when you swiped right and you matched.
Yeah, exactly. Which is so random that it happened that way.
Yeah.
But then the doubt sets in over the years. And when I say over the years, there was 4 years with us. And especially the first 2 years, I think after 2 years, Julie was like, huh?
Hi.
Hi. Hey. And I thought about it. Yeah. And then, you know, 3 years was the no complex bonus. So then, because that was the time, that was when I was ready. But yeah, it's, you know, sometimes the doubt can creep in.
Yeah, and it's not doubt, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not doubt about her or the idea of being with her or him or whoever's in your life at this time, a second go around. It is probably not living in the past, but living under the shadow, and how do you climb out from it?
It's exactly right. Because, you know, I haven't, for fear of my ex, I don't want to bash her at all. I mean, she's not a bad person.
Sure. Things happen.
We were just not right for each other.
Right.
But my marriage was a colossal failure. It really was. Like, I don't think
I'm
was
agreeing.
Happy.
Like, I'm like, horrible. I don't know the deal. I didn't know you then.
I know, that's right. But I mean, I don't think I was happy once, you know, after being married with her. I mean, I remember the first year being good.
Yeah.
She did give me Cal. So that's what I have to always give her that credit.
Right.
But she, the first year was fine. So the backstory of my ex was we were together 1 year and got married. And then I was getting engaged and I proposed.
1 year, got it.
And then that second year was all wedding stuff. And so there was constant stress, constant fights. And I just kind of missed who she was as a person. And all I saw was Bridezilla at one point. And Bridezilla is an endearment.
Right.
Because it was her first
her marriage. Day type of thing. Yeah. Okay.
Then we get married. And it was just constant. It just wasn't good. And so I just worried that the thoughts in my head was, I'm not a good husband. It's me. I'm not fit for marriage. And I hear that now, even with sitting next to my fiance, we have a fight and I'm like, oh, it's never going to work. And I've said that to my fiance, my now fiance. And she's like, what's wrong with you? She's like,
you have said that to her? This will never work.
Yeah. Oh God. I can overreact.
Sure.
But I still have a little bit of, you know, for lack of a better term. I don't want to use the word PTSD because that's just that takes away from
real things. From real things. Yeah, I get.
But
I
I'm more emotionally sometimes scarred where I get a little bit.
Yeah.
God.
Look, so, you and I are similar in that regard. We take things deep. We maybe get locked in your patterns. And that's what I'm saying. You can do it again. You know, if you chose not to do it again, that's fine. I've had conversations off air with Mr. Mark Ellis about, you know, we could go down to Shady Acres and retire alone and be all right. You know, and that might be your course in life if you're listening out there. But for someone like you in a relationship who got back on that horse and you know, let's ride into the sunset, you do have to make and continue to make those tough choices and commitment that aren't always easy.
You do. And they aren't always easy. But and I could go. I'm very content being single. I mean, I really found myself between my divorce and my now fiance because I had 2 years of being single.
Which is key, you know?
It really is. And I lived by myself and I dated, but I didn't date like maybe some people think was like, oh, I'm going out this weekend. It's like my single life, I was Cal.
Yeah.
Like I remember working and working this production job and being so excited to be Friday night is a bottle of wine, a pizza, a movie and Cal on the couch, and Saturday was a bottle of wine, a pizza, and Cal on the couch, and I was perfectly content with that.
I think we can, maybe, I don't want to divide it up by gender, but a lot of the men I know, maybe of a certain age, can easily fall into that.
Yeah.
Where it is this like, it's Friday night, I can manage my baseball team on the PS4. I got some contracts to negotiate on the franchise mode. I got some steak I'm cooking myself. I'm going to work out. And got the slippers on the entire time. We're good to go.
I love that. It's so much fun. Yeah. And I can't really do that every Friday and Saturday night anymore. Yeah.
But I think that's the lesson of love. It truly is. It's that old episode of Mad About You. Paul Reiser's character goes for his traditional birthday walk, which was on my birthday, April 19th, and then comes back on that episode, realize I want to do that walk with you now.
Yeah.
And being okay with that. And you're going to have your solo time.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be able to have those pizzas and wine again.
Yeah, but, no, and that's the thing, you know. And some of that, when you're with somebody, is being able to work through that, because when you say, I need some alone time, that's not a bad thing.
Right.
And Julie has a lot of that because she loves to work out. She loves yoga. She's a lot more active than me. Mm-hmm. I need my alone time writing and my alone time sometimes kind of decompressing that has everything to do with writing, because I need that. I'm going to take a walk.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about my script. I'm going to just read or what have you. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's okay.
It really is.
Okay. So, like I said, you got love all figured out. It's perfect. Yeah. Love is grand. Ain't love grand, says Anne Bancroft in the Great Expectations remake.
Oh, that's right.
Which is one of my favorite films. But let's speak of films. Speaking of what you do, speaking of career, you're still over there at Collider Video. I've talked about it with other guests here on the Knapsack Files this year. It's been the thing, man. You know, the changing landscape of digital media.
Yeah.
And how's it going and how folks like you and I can refine our creative muscle. Mm. Not that talking about movies isn't creative.
Right.
But remembering why we came to town.
Yeah.
You yourself are a writer and a writer at heart.
Yeah. That's so important because, we found ourselves in this space.
Yeah.
And it's
out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Yeah, exactly. I kind of fell into it, I feel like. I never thought I would be considered a pundit.
Right.
Sitting on a kind of a set with flashing images of movies and going, well, I didn't like that trailer of Aquaman because that never made sense to me. But yet when it appeared and it became a thing and I got involved with it through Schmoes and then through ultimately Collider, I was like, well, this is like a dream thing. I love it.
Right.
But the thing that I always remember and always try to remember is that when I'm on Movie Talk, Collider, or when I'm talking about something, there is a big part of me that's like, I want to be talking about my thing.
You want to do your stuff?
Yeah. I want Movie Talk to cover my script.
Yeah.
And I don't need a big directorial debut or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I want Deadliner's reporting that, you know, Paramount Pictures has picked up the hot spec from Mark Riley about XYZ.
Yeah.
That is my dream.
Yeah.
And I want to see that. So I keep trying to remember that. And the only problem is, as you know, when you have a million things that you're doing, it's hard to summon creative energy sometimes to write.
It is. And then you get locked.
Or do anything else.
Right. And you get locked into this pattern. Again, this for us, 4 or 5 years ago, you know, gosh, I remember 2008, 2007 when Christian and Mark formed Schmoes Know, and was like, what are you doing? YouTube. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Boom. It takes off. Everything's going good. And then it made sense. It makes sense. It's broadcasting, podcasting, digital broadcasting, digital media. I'm there for all of it. But then what ends up happening along the way is you know, you're talking Star Wars, like I do in Force Center, which I love, or Jedi Council. You're talking movies. And then I think the fans don't know you. They didn't know you in 1998 when I moved to LA and no one knew me.
Yeah.
They didn't know that. And so I felt, especially the last 6 months of my time, full-time tenure at Collider Video, I didn't feel myself. Yeah. I didn't feel that this is what I wanted to do anymore. It was part of it. I want to be creative. I'll talk about Star Wars to the day I'm not allowed to anymore.
Sure.
But how do we get back to feeling like we're putting something back into the industry?
You know? I'll spoil it for everyone. I don't feel like myself either.
Yeah.
Collider.
Yeah.
I don't. It's a gray line. So I don't want to like everybody out there listening who might be like, what? It's of course I feel like myself and I am who I am.
It doesn't mean you don't get joy out of being on Movie Talk or producing Movie Talk.
Absolutely. I love everything about my job. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's as simple as I want Movie Talk to be covering my script, not me covering somebody else's script. Because whenever I've read and collect and aggregate the news to present it to whether it's Mark Ellis or whoever's hosting Movie Talk or to program it myself and host Movie Talk, which I've done before, is that I can read that Variety, Deadline, THR article about a new hot script out there. And the jealousy that goes through me is so palpable.
Yeah.
And it makes me look around. And again, I wouldn't change a thing. I can't. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be like that. It just means that there's still more to do. There's still the goal that I want to hit. And I've always hit my goals.
Yeah.
I have.
And the thing is, you can do both. And
I'm lucky.
Yeah. I look at two people. I look at Amy Rose Eisenbach, who was a founding member. You know, one of the founding building blocks of Movie Talk.
She's such a wonderful person.
It's time for me to go.
Yeah.
Because I want to make sure I'm pursuing what I want to do. She's Radiant, Radiant J Films is her thing. And I'd love to get her on the Knapsack Files, so I got to do that because she's so busy. She's traveling. She got this documentary she's part of these women going to play soccer at the highest point, the highest soccer game ever on his.
So beautiful.
She's doing amazing things. And you know, still, if she wanted to, could talk about movies every now and then. We just lost him. And I think it's a great way to talk about him here for a couple of minutes.
Is now
the late, great John Schnapp, which is still weird to say.
It's
still
so
hard
weird
to say. We're just a week removed here. Less than a week.
It's like when you said that, it's now starting to sink in.
Yeah.
A lot more because I think we talked off air of like, this is a joke. Like Schnapp's just gonna like
he and
walk
Andy
through
Kaufman and Tony Clifton are gonna show up on Monday.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you bring up Amy Rose because we did the tribute for Schnapp, which I thought was so wonderful, and she wanted to be there, and I had 5 minutes with her of just catching up on her productions, on her producing stuff, but
losing
Schnapp, man.
But losing Schnapp and seeing what Schnapp did, which is, I say he's one of the godfathers of this media discussion world because he really emerged and started appearing on Movie Talk in the AMC days and Skyping in with the gang over there, you know, he was known for other things.
Mm-hmm.
I can never say
Metalocalypse.
Metalocalypse.
Oh my God.
He's a big cog of that. Something I had heard about when I was developing an animated show in 2009, 2010. It was like we made sure we compared ourselves to that show, but also in a way of like, look what they're doing, but also let's make sure we're doing something different.
Yeah.
It was such an important influence. And then, you know, the documentary and all those kind of things. And then he gets known.
His comics. Yeah. Oh,
remember when he came on Schmoes to promote his comic too? Yeah. And so he's done it all. He's done this thing. And then he discovers this media discussion world becomes personality, and that's the last conversation I had with him. And I'm going to be talking about that a little bit more in the afternoons this week. You can listen to that episode. I wrote about it, too, on my blog, the last conversation we had. And it was about him saying you have value and find value and accept the value of the fans wanting to talk with you, commune with you, hear your voice. But that does not mean you don't get to go or can't go.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And perform. And that's what I'm finding, taking great inspiration in that. And
yeah.
It's part of the legacy I'll have is how he inspires each individual as a group. He inspires us individually, inspires us. And that's my thing.
He, wow.
Yeah. It's tough to talk about because it's so fresh. But
yeah, because I feel like I didn't get a big.
Big goodbye. You didn't have your moment.
I didn't get the big goodbye to him.
Yeah.
My goodbye was see you Monday, Schnapp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he came in for that last Heroes that he appeared on and he was walking out and I'm like, I'll see you next week, dude.
Right.
And you don't know. You didn't know.
Yeah.
And but also like I didn't get the like we talked about screenwriting all the time. He had a script that he told me. It's about a killer tow truck.
I've heard about this.
And it's just, of course you did, dude.
Yes. Yes.
And, but he also had like, you know, comics and he wanted me especially to come on Heroes to talk about, we were changing some of the format on Heroes and he was excited about it, which is why he stepped off Movie Talk, which is just, there's a part of me that's like, God, I mean, it's like he stepped off Movie Talk and then 2 weeks later he was gone.
Right, right.
But he wanted to do, especially, and I love this about what he wanted to do for Heroes, which was really highlight comics and comic books. And that's what I love about Schnapp because I do have experience. And I gave him, he read my comic that I made and loved it.
Yeah.
And there was something that like was so fulfilling about that moment because I brought it to the office when we were in the old space before, unfortunately, you guys stopped working there.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, this is... He's like, dude, who's the artist? And I was like, oh, it's Tiffany England. And this kid out of school that we were on a budget. And he's like doing that Schnapp nod.
That Schnapp head nod.
Yeah, that where he's just looking at it because I'm basically telling him who the artist was.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's nodding, which I think Ellis pointed out, Josh pointed out on the tribute. It's like when he's nodding, he's not really listening because he was looking at the art. And that there was something special about that. But
yeah, well, it's still there.
It's still
there.
Yeah.
Maybe part of his legacy is telling you, get your ass into the creative game again and that you already have something wonderful in front of you.
Yeah. I think that's what a lot of people didn't know, and that came out a lot with Holly Payne coming on the Movie Talk tribute, the strongest Jesus woman I've seen in a long time, coming on there and saying, you guys all know him for this, but like, he's like, no.
Look at his stuff.
Look at everything he's done.
Yeah. And it's a great reminder, a bittersweet reminder. I wish he could be reminding us in person again, like I had that final chance to hear about three, 4 weeks before he passed. But it is a reminder. That's part of the legacy. I think we all grieve a little different. I'm a little more like Paul McCartney. I'm going to go in the studio on the day John Lennon dies, and I'm going to record a song. You know, that's a little bit more me.
Yeah.
Other people out there, it's a little different. And that was part of it, you know. Transition into an odd self-promotion, but like when the Instagram TV started up.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to work or not, but I did a couple of videos that were just stupid. Then I did one reviewing comics because I do read comics a lot
and
I still might do it, but I realized I did it and I looked at the video and I saw a bunch of other people, friends of ours, reviewing movie news, reviewing comics, reviewing this. And some of them are great. Jason Inman is an expert on this and that kind of stuff. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want you to swipe by and be like, here's another person talking about comics. Let me put on a bathrobe. Let me do some stupid motivations. And let me just sit down in front of a camera and make up some comedy for 2 minutes and see if it works. And that literally came out of looking at what Schnapp had told me about find yourself. Accept your value that people want to hear. They don't just want to hear me talk about Lazarus, which is a great comic. You all should read it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they want to hear a little bit there. And so that's part of his legacy as we lose him and mourn him. You can still look to the North Star and see him is inspiring us to refind and not saying, and if you're listening, you're like, but Ken, I like it when you talk about Star Wars. Oh, I love talking about Star Wars too.
Oh yeah.
But I feel I'm leaving a lot on the not leaving enough on the table, I should say.
Yeah.
I'm not putting a lot of blood on the tracks. And that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I hope you find that too.
Yeah. I mean it's like and again, yeah, do I not want to talk about Star Wars or Superman or comics or some of my favorite movies? No, of course not. I want to do all of that. But it is finding that balance. And Schnepp, I think, was a perfect individual to see that because that guy always had something going on.
Yeah.
And he would tell me, I was like, I mean, I couldn't believe when he showed me, he's like, oh, I'm writing a Slayer comic. I'm like, what?
I remember that, yeah.
I was like, geez, okay. And he's showing me that. And it's like, oh, I'm making this TV series now that Kevin Smith called out.
Yeah.
At that wonderful Hall H thing that he did. And the guy, yeah, he found that balance, and that's what it is. I mean, it's the balance, and I follow a number of writers on Twitter, and Shannon and Swift, if you guys go, and it's under at Shannon and Swift. Mm-hmm. They are the writers that did Freddy versus Jason, so give them that little. But they went in all caps, and it was kind of a joke for our, you know, president who did the all-cap tweet the other day to Iran. But it was like, if you write 2 pages a day, by the end of the year, you'll have 2 scripts done.
Yeah.
And I went, what? Yeah. That's really interesting. If you think about it and break down, and they're like, do the math.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's what I need to do. And there are days where I'll do 5 pages. There are days I'll do 10. Mm-hmm. There are days I do none. And it's trying to find that balance where at least I do one.
Yeah.
And, you know,
To the young up and comers out there, because they are out there, and want to hit the town. You know, you've made a movie. We've talked about it on the podcast before.
Yeah,
you've made a movie, and you talk about this 2 pages a day. That's the kind of stuff is not easier said than done. It is, but you know, all right, it makes sense. But writing sometimes, you know, you said sometimes you have zero.
Yeah,
what to a young 21-year-old hitting the town. What would you tell them? Because you wish someone told 21-year-old Mark Reilly
as a writer.
Yeah,
whew, that's a good question. I mean, there's part of
me, thank you, sir. Yeah. I made it up on the spot there, and I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good question. Wow. I mean, if you know what you want to do, it, I would go immediately and get a book on writing. I would get, and literally, that's what it's called, On Writing. Stephen King.
Gotcha.
Read that immediately. Read Story by Robert McKee.
Great classic, yeah.
Yep. Read Save the Cat.
Save the Cat. I think your screenplay sucks. It's another must read.
That's a good one. Which Lie Did I Tell?
Yeah.
William Goldman, who is Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid, Princess Bride.
Spectacular.
It's so good.
All the President's Men, right?
All the President's Men.
Yeah.
Read those books, and while you're reading those books, also just get your hands on, if you're depending on the medium, if you're a screenwriter, get your hands on every screenplay you possibly can, then do this, and this is Robert McKee.
Yeah.
Put the movie in front of you, sit down with the script, start taking notes.
Yeah.
What lines are missing and why? I mean, cross it out. Because you will have a shooting, and there are different versions.
Yeah, if you go to the mall, like I used to go to Walden Books, and I used to get this, and those are really cool. I have them as collect. I'm looking at them right behind you here on my shelf. I have Magnolia, High Fidelity, Princess Bride, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, there's also, you can get a hold of the shooting scripts.
You can get shooting scripts. You can get, you know, just the scripts in general, because you'll be surprised at how different they are. Even the shooting scripts. Mm-hmm, sometimes you'll be like, whoa, that's not even in there. Mark that down, and then while you're watching the movie, and then go back and be like, why did this, but also write every day, and don't be afraid to write a shitty script, because I've written plenty of them.
That's key. Yeah.
I think it stops a lot of people because they think this is bad. And believe me, I'm in the middle of a script right now that every day I'm like, I don't know if this is very good, but there's something driving me to finish it. And don't be afraid of rejection. I think that's the biggest thing, and I see it a lot. I just got rejected from the Nickel Fellowship, and I've been a part of...
I didn't know that.
I got...
I know you're trying, man.
Take
a sip of that whiskey.
Yeah, Gottman and I, which is so funny. Hmm. My writing partner, Lisa Gottman, and I wrote something called The List. We won the Second City Comedy Screenwriting Competition.
It's really funny, yeah.
We couldn't even get past the first round in Nickel Fellowship.
Wow.
So that gives you an idea,
right?
Is that we won an entire contest, couldn't get past the first round in the Nickel Fellowship. So you're going to have your highs and lows.
Mm-hmm.
and you keep going. And I think part of my biggest advice is that it's really hard, but sometimes it could take you a while to get to where you want to be. Like if I could do it all over again, mm-hmm. I would go back to college and really focus in on screenwriting instead of acting and producing.
Yeah. Okay.
And going to the cinema school to kind of do it all. Mm-hmm. Because then when I got out of college, I did many years of waiting tables trying to be an actor.
Yeah.
I think a big part of what I would have done differently is I would have gone immediately out of college into an internship, mm-hmm. into development.
Yeah.
Because I think you could have met, you could meet a number of people and you write at night.
Right.
And at that age, mm-hmm. believe me, this is key here from a 40-year-old person here, 40 mm-hmm. plus, is that you have that energy to work your butt off during the day in a very demanding job. You need that energy to then go home and write.
Yeah.
And if you are doing that in development in a studio or at a production company or as a writer's assistant, you're going to meet contacts and you're going to need that script in your pocket.
Right.
For when you're at lunch, when you're at around the water cooler, getting coffee, and they go, "What are you working on?" Well, this. Yeah. And you're already in the door.
Yeah.
You're already there. So I would recommend if you know you want to be a writer, you know, write every day. Don't be afraid to fail. Read all the books, read all the screenplays. Go get a job in an internship, at development, studio, what have you. Go in, learn the inner workings of the business because as much as it is about writing, it's also about the business.
Yeah.
And you have to really know these people because the scripts now that I'm able to get out the door is because I took an internship at Village Roadshow. Mm-hmm. I got to know a Christian Harloff who worked at Joel Silver Pictures, who then brought me in at one point because I was lucky, who I met Ethan Irwin, who I met a number of different people. I know I can get my script out there now.
Yeah.
That is so key because if you just write on the side and finish a script and then don't know where to send it, mm-hmm. it's really, really hard. It's not impossible.
It's not impossible, but it's hard.
It's hard
to
get through that. Yeah. That front door.
Yeah, it's hard. That's hard for me in a lot of ways. But yeah, that's one of the biggest things I'm pulling out. I've said it here before, and so it's a repeat for long-time listeners. But if you're starting out, you hit this town running.
Yeah.
Keep running.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning don't worry about partying on the weekend.
Right.
You'll have that time. Your 30s aren't as old as you think.
Right.
And also, you'll have that time in your 20s. You'll have a Saturday night party. Don't worry. But what are you doing to work? Because you have to, you know, we're set up in a society. I believe in capitalism. That's me. That's just me. But I think you have to work. You have to make money. And you do have to earn it. And then your nights and your mornings,
mm-hmm.
you know. I got my former writing partner, my writing partner, Matt Key. We got a little project in the works here.
Which I love doing this.
Yeah. Cross all your fingers, hopes and prayers and dreams and all that. But, you know, Key works full time at Geek and Sundry.
Yeah.
The dude gets up at 6 a.m. Mm. so that he can guarantee it's 2 hours to write before he goes into work.
Is that what he's doing?
And he does that Monday through Friday. And
see,
he's doing that in large part because he didn't commit to this career path early enough, you know, making up for lost time and energy in his mind.
I think that's my point. Yeah.
So there's some do that up now.
And the weekends, you said that, those are key for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love my weekends. I used to do this when I worked in production, when I was working at a Showtime show. It was weekends were writing, man. I would wake up and I would sleep in. You sleep in.
Have your moments.
You recharge the battery.
You need to sit down and play Fortnite. Don't worry.
Yes,
you're
going to
have time.
You find the balance. But those weekends were sleep in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would walk to the Grove. I'd get some food.
Yeah,
I'd come back and I would write the rest of the day. And this is my Saturday.
Yeah.
And that was my Sunday. And I would be careful going, like, if you're writing on weekends, don't go out at night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can go out, have maybe a drink here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't want to waste yourself because then you won't do anything the next day.
The problem is to develop this subconscious habit where you have tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to break. I have that a lot too.
Oh, yeah.
People in my life know it and it's a struggle.
Yeah.
But just. I'm not even saying that in the big picture.
Yeah.
I'm saying the small picture. You need to get it done. Get it done. I have a lot of younger listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I get messages, wonderful messages. Hey, man, I'm looking to do this. I'm looking to get into this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't help them. I can't necessarily bring everyone on. I'm barely making it.
Yeah.
I can't do that to help you, but I can tell you this. Don't waste time.
Yeah, that's a big thing. And because listen to Uncle Riley here, I did feel like I wasted
Uncle
a
Mark?
Little bit.
Oh, this is Cal, your dog. I guess you're more my dad. What can I do?
Yeah, he's my dad. Yeah, I felt like I wasted a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. I went out of college,
mm-hmm.
and I got to tell you, did a lot of partying. Mm. Did a lot of going out with friends.
Right.
Slept in. Nice writer here. Slept in. There it is.
This is why I record live to tape, so all my grammar errors
show up for all the world to see.
Is on radio forever.
I know. Me talk pretty one day. I would go out, you know, good with my writing partner, Lisa Gottman. But that's also to say that we do have a script that won something, and we do have a script that has a producer interested. But nonetheless,
And it could
spend putting the work in.
And for you, it could still happen, man. My friend Dave Congleton, radio host up in my hometown, San Luis Obispo area. I mean, back when I was in high school, he was like one of the local radio guys, you know, like he was a talk radio guy. And I eventually became friends with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll talk him often. He's also battling some health problems. Dave, get well. But he had his first script produced. Chris Klein, Kaylee, what's her name from Cuco from Big Bang Theory?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know the actress, but not
and some
the
others
name.
Starting this movie about a writer's group. And it changed. I forget what the name was called. It was called Scribble for Years, and he'd given me the script.
Nice.
And it was like a mockumentary on a writer's group. And, you know, one of the authors sells a book in this writer's group and the jealousy ensues.
Oh, perfect.
Dave was in his 50s when this finally got made. It was his first produced credit. And we saw the screening at the Fremont Theater in San Luis Obispo, and it was all good. And he's had some struggles trying to work on the other ones. And he's got some people, you know, at one time, what's his name? Sam, what's the guy from Moon?
Moon. Oh, Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell was interested in it. You know, he's had some of those things, and that's still a struggle. And it's always going to be a struggle.
It's going to be, yeah.
But I'll never forget being at the theater and seeing Dave watch for the first time in his early 50s his name up on the screen.
Yeah, it's do it.
And you got time.
I got time.
But you don't have time.
but that's a good point. You don't have time, but that's it, kind of like there's no time to waste.
Yes, it's this weird thing of be patient, but put the work in.
Yeah, and you know what you're writing. I think it's so important to know what it is you're writing. You know, more advice is to you know, it's like, what's the movie in your head? What does it remind you of? Yeah. So you can say it helps in pitch meetings too.
Yeah,
you know, oh, it's this meets this. Well,
pitching is an art too, but
yeah, pitching.
What is your dream story that you still want to tell?
Oh man,
what is your style? Is it comedy? Is it superhero? You want to write a star? I mean, you and I probably both want to write a Star Wars, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that will happen.
Yeah, but Star Wars is it. I mean, I'm a summer blockbuster guy.
Yeah,
and I'm also a horror guy. And the one I'm working on right now is a horror movie.
Okay.
And but I've always had very high concept, blockbuster kind of stories that come to my mind. But what I've learned being in this business for as long as I have now, the summer blockbusters right now, they're based on a property already.
Yeah.
So your Avengers, you know, comic books.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to get an original out there. So what is some more advice is, what is the one genre, I'll say this, two genres where the original idea kind of reigns supreme? To me, it's comedy and horror, you know?
Right.
Horror movies, especially if you look at some of the renaissance of horror that I was actually speaking about with on the latest Riley Roundtable with Perry, which is, look at A Quiet Place, look at Get Out.
I just saw that.
What'd you think?
I loved it.
Yeah, it's good.
Because you know I don't like them scary pictures.
Yes. These scary movie pictures.
And Grace is like, we're going to watch this. You don't have a choice. You're going to watch this with me.
It's so good.
It got me thinking, man.
Yeah.
We can talk about that, but it got me thinking. Yes.
Okay, anyways. Good. Ooh, I want to hear that. But yeah, that's an original idea. Yeah. It's not based on anything. Get Out, original idea. Mm-hmm. And again, sure, you're coming with some like John Krasinski, who was from The Office, or Jordan Peele, you know.
Yeah, I read the story of the Quiet Place script. You know, the co-writers, you know, 2013, they have the first idea.
Sure.
And then Krasinski's got to do a draft, you know.
Yeah.
But But they're working on the sequel.
They're working on a sequel now. It's a franchise. Look at that. But horror movies in general, the history of horror movies, aside from some of the bigger ones that we all know, like Exorcist or Jaws, that were based on source material, they can exist as an original idea because by design, a horror movie is a little less that the genre itself is the ticket.
Yeah,
you know, people want to see a horror movie, and you know, you don't need A-listers. You know. Sure. Or you don't, you know, and that original idea can really reign supreme. And so, and luckily for me, I love a good horror movie. So I have a great idea in my head that I've been working on. I'm 60 pages in now. And I think that if you look at some of the career trajectories after that, like James Wan, who did Saw and did that, and now he's directing Aquaman. You have a number of people. Krasinski now is another example. Yeah. But you can sell these things and show that you can write. And then once you're in there and you start selling some projects, you take some projects, you do this, you maybe rewrite this horror movie here, you maybe get a meeting here, and you realize, no, I'm not a one-trick pony. I actually like these big blockbusters. And comedy is another one, but I love my comedy side, but I'm more of a, the summer blockbuster.
Summer blockbuster, horror genre. I like horror genre, I like it. Man, we went to a lot of places here.
We sure
did.
And
I appreciate your honesty today.
Thank you.
It was a great return here on the Knapsack Files.
I love being on the Knapsack Files.
And I love having you here, but you also got your own show. And as we wrap up here, I wanted you to tell people what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
And tell them where they can find it.
Well, you can... So I did launch, finally, the Riley Roundtable podcast because I was getting... I did mention to call back on, like, when you're doing Collider... And sometimes when I feel a little bit like I want to be talking about my own stuff, there was also a part of me that really wanted to just talk about whatever the hell I want to talk about. And that was the Riley Roundtable. It's on the Collider Factory feed.
Okay.
It drops every Wednesday. We talk about everything. Perry Nemiroff is my latest guest. I don't know when this is going to air, but Perry and I talked about Halloween at Hall H at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And we went into... a horror renaissance of like, wow, can you believe that a Halloween movie is now center stage at Hall H?
Right.
Could sooner or later we see more horror movies do that? We broke down the history of Halloween, Comic-Con, all that good stuff. I talk about everything, man.
Yeah.
I love it. When am I getting you on?
Soon, man. Whenever you want me. Whenever you want me. We'll organize it. If you tempt me... with a wood wrench lunch.
Ooh, I can do that.
Or at least I know I can go eat a wood wrench.
Yeah, I can do that.
I'll walk over to the studios.
Perfect.
And pop in.
Yeah.
As always, it's great to have you. Yeah.
Thank you for plugging that. Yeah, that's my Rally Roundtable. I want to do more, so I'm planning on launching some more stuff, you know, which we'll get into later.
You got the alien ones. We get the alien contact. You got all that kind of stuff.
Kai Blackwood. You got to check that out. My director of Grey Skies, the movie you mentioned, that I did make, he was my director who, his stories of alien abduction, and he believes it in a way where you're listening to this guy, and you're like, he's not screwing with us.
He's not
crazy.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, I know how this sounds. You can either take it or leave it. I don't care. He's a cool guy, but that's
a separate conversation. I mean, I know I had a little weird interaction with something weird in the skies, and I am a sane person back in 2001 or so. I was working security about 2 in the morning. I know you had something up there in Michigan.
That was Kai.
That was Kai.
I was with Kai.
They were
UFO.
Coming back to get him.
Jesus.
So that's that. So, Mark Riley, thank you for coming in. Thanks for you. Thank you for sharing. Congratulations again on the engagement.
Thank you.
Knowing that we will continue to create and do it in large part honoring people who've come before us, like John Schnapp, who we dedicate this episode to as
love you,
well.
Yeah.
You guys listen to Knapsack Files. You know the drill. You can follow me at Ken Knapsack. Go to the website, knapsackfiles.podomatic.net. That includes my blog, which every once in a while things pop up there. But I have the last conversation I had with John Schnapp. I wrote about it. And if you'd like to read about it, check it out. No way asking you to. It's up there. Also, I have my charity spotlight, which is on that blog as well, or on that website, a page that has a bunch of charities spotlit by me, friends, and listeners, and more on the way. It's a little fun thing we're doing with the Knapsack Files family. and the Knapsack Files community giving back. And that community is growing. You can go to patreon.com/thenapsackfiles and join a lot of support tiers. Just $1 a month gets you a lot of stuff, like a special show, the Kazok Radio playlist, and now something coming. I'm testing it out. It's in beta. Rabbit. I'm going to go to that site and do some watch-alongs where you and I and a group can watch things together from our laptops in a chat room and have some fun. That's happening over there, but also I have the executive producer and producer tiers, and that's what I have to call out right now. I love these folks. They are not just supporting me with their support numbers. They're supporting me with advice, chats. We go into the Knapsack Files boardroom, and we talk about my next steps in building out the Knapsack Files. And I want to thank producers Jason Humphreys, Christopher Paquette, that is Pagnetti, Pags, you and me, Spencer Hunt, Alex Marriott, Kai Thatch, Kyle Gerbrandt, and then the executive producers, Aaron Parisian, you know that name, Mark Riley, DJ Snacks, that's David at Temporal Radio, Thomas Risling, who is also a part of Casterly Talk. I hope that goes. That's a Patreon goal. Lethal Logan X, my pro wrestling brother, Matthew Simon Bedore. She is my Twitch moderator now. And nice. Legends Con. Check out Legends Con for this Star Wars legend themed con that is coming and working on. That is the people among many that support me, and I appreciate it. They make this show possible. So for Mark Riley, I'm Ken Knapsack. We're going to do it for John Schnepp. Keep creating. Keep having fun.